A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Today's Daf Shabbos, Pei Zayin 87, pagination 173. We'll start from about 9 lines from the top. At the end of a line, you'll see Gimel, which is where we begin. The Gemara says, Gimel Devarim Asa Moshe Midaito. There are 3 things that Moshe did of his own judgment. V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo, and Hashem agreed. That means that Moshe normally was simply relating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, to say, to legislate, etc. But in these 3 cases, Moshe took initiative, and Hashem agreed with his judgment. This opens up the entire concept of Das Torah. When a person so thoroughly inculcates themselves with the intent of their mentor, or in this case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such that their judgment is accurate and anticipates indeed the desires of the mentor. There's a very illustrative story of this, where Rabbi Aaron Cutler called MTJ to speak with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and the person answering the phone checked for the Rosh Yeshiva, couldn't find him, came back to the phone and said, he doesn't seem to be in Yeshiva, not available. So Rabbi Aaron said, who am I speaking with? So the gentleman answered, Nissen Alpert. Rabbi Aaron recognized the name. Rabbi Nissen was the loyal student of Rabbi Moshe. And Rabbi Aaron said, I'd like to pose the question to you and get your insight, because whatever you say is presumably what the Rebbe would have said. That concept of truly involving oneself in Torah for length of time, to the point, for example, Rav El Yashev Zichrono Levracha, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zichrono Levracha, Rav Moshe Zichrono Levracha, these Gedolim, when we turn to them to ask them what would be at the fork of the road, which direction should we take? So the concept is that they so thoroughly absorbed the way of Torah that their gut feeling, the Libi Omerli, or their research, or whatever it is, but their judgment is something that we trust, and that's what's being described here, that Moshe is not simply relating Hashem's ruling, but is taking initiative, and Hashem agreed. What are the 3 things? Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. He added 1 thing, 1 day, on his own. When Hashem said which day the Torah would be given, he was speaking to Moshe on a Wednesday, and he said 2 days. And as the Gemara explains, the question was whether Wednesday would count and the second day would be Thursday with Matan Torah on Friday, or, as Moshe interpreted it, Wednesday does not count, you need Thursday and Friday for preparation, and Shabbos morning would be Matan Torah, and the Gemara says, indeed, Matan Torah was on Shabbos, so you see that Hashem agreed with Moshe's calculation. Upirish min ha'isha, Moshe separated from his wife, which is highly unusual. In Torah standards, we do not find that a Talmud Chacham ever intentionally remains without a wife. If Chas V'Shalom, a Talmud Chacham never finds a wife, so there's such a thing, unfortunately. If his wife dies, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, there's such a thing as a Talmud Chacham without a wife. But intentionally, for a Talmud Chacham to distance himself from his wife, we do not find in Jewish perspective, with the exception of Moshe. And the third thing was Veshiberes HaLuchos, he broke the Luchos. Drop down a few lines to the end of the line, Upirish Min HaIsha, let's elaborate on this thing that he distanced from his wife. I'm skipping the calculation of the 3 days because we said it quickly in our overview. Upirish min ha'isha, he separated from his wife, my darish, what was Moshe's calculation? Nasa kavachomer be'atzmo. He created a kavachomer the power of deduction. Omar, he said, Uma Yisrael shelo dibro shechina imoy malasho achas v'kava lohem zman. Hashem was going to speak with Klal Yisrael, with the Jewish people, and he designated a time to do so. And nevertheless, the Torah is very specific. They should be separate from their wives in anticipation. So Moshe says, I, who have this relationship with Hashem, that Hashem speaks to me without warning, alachas kama v'kama, I certainly have to separate from my wife, that this level of revelation is not compatible with marital relations. Uminolon deiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado, how do you see that Hashem agreed? Dechsiv lechem or lohem shuvu lochem lo'ohaleichem, go tell the people after the revelation that they should go back to their tents, to family life. Uchsiv basrei, but the next pasuk says, ve'ata po amodi modi, but you, Moshe, should remain here with me, and you're not returning to your tent. So you see that when Moshe left Tzipora, his wife, together with everybody else, and informed her that he doesn't anticipate coming back to that level of relationship, that was his initiative. But by the time the revelation was concluded, and Hashem says that they should return, meaning the rest of the Jewish people, Hashem told Moshe that he is not included in that return, and that he would remain close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this highly unusual, very great level of revelation. This story, its presentation, gives us tremendous insight in trying to understand what Miriam did wrong when she spoke against Moshe at the end of Parshas Bahaloscha. We find over there that Miriam speaks to Aaron against Moshe's decision to separate from his wife. The question is, what was she speaking against? Tosfos over here, Dibur HaMaskil Va'ato, explains, in the middle of the Tosfos, Nisra'am U'alav, their complaint was that even though Hashem agreed, and even though the commandment was from Hashem, but had he not originally initiated his own logic and his own preparation to separate from his wife, Hashem, they wondered, would never have made such a command. In the direction that a person wants to go, that's where they take him. That's where Hashem guides him to. And therefore, when Tzipora commented on the new Nevi'im, Eldad and Medad, woe to their wives, because it looks like they're going to have to separate. So Miriam realized that this was from Moshe's initiative. And that was the complaint that Miriam discussed with Aaron, that it seems that it was from Moshe's initiative. We see from this Gemara, though, that indeed Moshe's calculation was accurate. And in fact, in the Psukim, we see that Miriam was held to task and she became a Metzora as a result of this Lashon Hara, because apparently Moshe's direction was an accurate calculation. And the Chafetz Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon draws the conclusion from here that when speaking about a Tzaddik Gomor, when contemplating the behavior of a true and authentic Tzaddik, you have to be dan lekaf schus, judge them favorably, even to the extent that it does not seem reasonable to you. And indeed, this behavior of Moshe was highly irregular, but it was accurate for the level of revelation that he was having with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Miriam's complaint that he initiated what later would be a command was apparently misplaced. The critique was misplaced. Let's continue in the Gemara, the beginning of a line. The third thing that Moshe did, Shiberas HaLuchos, he broke the Luchos, my Dorish, what was Moshe's logic? So we have here, Ma Pesach Shu Echad Mitaryag Mitzvahs. Pesach, that's one of the 613 mitzvahs. A person who is estranged from Torah is not allowed to eat. Here, Klal Yisrael are truly estranged that they built an Egel. So certainly they're not fitting to receive the Torah. That was Moshe's logic. Just as an aside, you see here from the wording of the Gemara that Pesach is one of the 613 mitzvahs. That the concept of 613 mitzvahs is not that they counted and came up with 613, but there's actually a tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs, and then the commentaries debate which ones count towards the 613 and which are simply subdivisions of a different mitzvah. The Ramban discusses this in Sefer HaMitzvahs, whether there was actually a tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs or they started counting. And the wording in this Gemara indicates that there are 613 as a tradition. We know that there's 613. The question is how to arrive at that number. Moshe made a calculation and he broke the luchos. Uminolon diskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado. How do you know that Hashem agreed? Shenemar asher shibarta v'omer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish learned the words asher shibarta yiyashe kochacha shibarta. It was a good thing. Ashrei, like the first word of Tehillim, praised, lucky, it's the proper thing to do, that you broke them. Indeed, the luchos at that point from the egel had to be broken, and you had to do a process of tshuva, and then to get the second luchos. At the end of Chumash, the end of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, we find that Moshe was praised for this great act of breaking the luchos. The pasuk says, "La'enei kol Yisrael," the thing that he did in front of all of Kol Yisrael. Rashi says that he broke the luchos in front of them. And the question, of course, is why is that? Of all the things that Moshe did, the thing that we conclude Torah with, this is his signature event, that he broke the luchos. So there's a beautiful insight by the story of Noach. Noach doesn't enter the teva until it starts raining. So Rashi there says, Miktane emuna, he's small of faith. And the question there is, he's small of faith, a person who has faith that there's not going to be rain, that Hashem won't destroy. Usually we talk about faith in a good sense. Why is it that if he doesn't believe there's going to be a marble that Hashem will have mercy? That's called small of faith. So the answer seems to be because Hashem, by destroying the world, by bringing a marble, was saying, essentially, I have faith in humanity that they can do better. And one of the syndromes that humanity has sometimes is that they say, listen, Hashem, you're stuck with us. So whatever we are, if we deviate or whatever, you know, you're stuck. The message of the Mabel was, Hashem says, I think I can do better, like a carpenter who built a bookcase and takes it apart to rebuild it. He's basically saying, I think I can do better. And similarly, over here, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, the people are serving the Egel, they could very well say, you're stuck with us, we're going to have the Egel in our back pocket and give us the Luchos anyway, you don't have a Jewish people, besides us. And Moshe says, no, we're destroying the Luchos, I believe we can do better, we're going to get rid of the Egel, and then we're going to get a different set of Luchos. The message is that we're not going to give a half-baked set of Luchos with a half-baked religion. Moshe says, I believe we can do it, and we're going to do it right. And that is le'enei kol Yisrael. It's the strength, the lifting up of all of Torah is the confidence that humanity can indeed observe Torah with authenticity. Yeshikoach, thank you for joining.